Democratic senators have posed more than 300 questions to Attorney General nominee John Ashcroft. The list covers all the issues he'll face as Attorney General: civil rights, gun safety, and immigration, to name a few. Some of the questions also deal with the tension some feel exists between Ashcroft's faith as a dedicated Pentecostal and his duties running the Justice Department. One Christian conservative, Ken Connor of Family Research Council, says the scrutiny is religious and political profiling. Adherents of the Pentecostal faith say there's been a long history of misunderstanding of what their religion is and is not. From Springfield, Missouri, NPR's Shirley Jihad reports.
Wednesday night is family night in the Assemblies of God Pentecostal churches, and last night about 400 young people turned out at James River Assembly, the largest Pentecostal church in southwest Missouri.
God, we are hungry for you, O God.
This is a youthful example of how Pentecostals say they like to feel their faith, be overcome by it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
This church is just outside of Springfield, hometown of John Ashcroft, and home to the international headquarters of the Assemblies of God, one of several denominations that share the Pentecostal theology. Pentecostalism got its start 100 years ago at the turn of the last century, a time when believers urgently spread the gospel, fueled by the belief the end of the world was near and Jesus was coming any day. The movement started by a white minister in Topeka, Kansas, but it was an African-American pastor who catapulted Pentecostalism to the national level.
William Seymour was a son of slaves, born in Louisiana, became a minister, and it was of the Holiness Church, was in Houston, Texas, when he heard about the Pentecostal movement.
Wayne Warner is director of the Pentecostal Heritage Center.
Back in the Jim Crow days, he could not fully participate, and the story was that he was in the hallway listening to the teaching of the Pentecostal teachings.
Seymour went to Los Angeles and held marathon services nightly for 3 years, starting in 1906. It became known as the Azusa Street Revival. From there, Pentecostal churches spread around the country, attracting both black and white congregants. The Assemblies of God, a mostly white denomination, got its start initially in Hot Springs, Arkansas in 1914 and established a headquarters in Springfield 4 years later. Warner says the Pentecostal Heritage Center depicts the growth of the Assemblies of God, including a mock store front church with a neon Jesus Saves sign and an example of an early Sunday school class.
B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible.
You see life cast figures of his Sunday school teacher and a boy with an open Bible, and in the background is Daniel in the lion's den. And the scripture verse, the memory verse, or the prayer, "Dear Lord, help us to be like Daniel." And I think John Ashcroft probably felt last week that he was Daniel in the lion's den.
It's not unusual, some in this town say, for a Pentecostal to feel under attack, perhaps because many of the teachings that distinguish them make other Christians nervous.
I think the word overwhelming really describes well what we mean by the baptism in the Spirit.
Reverend George Wood, General Superintendent for the Assemblies of God, says Pentecostals believe miracles, faith healing, and speaking in tongues are cornerstones of their faith, stemming from the book of Acts, chapter 2 in the Bible.
How do you describe a sunset? How do you describe a bluebird singing in the morning? Language ultimately fails to capture all the grandeur, the beauty, the mystery of it. And we see speaking in tongues as a way of expressing the depth of our soul to God in a language we don't understand, but in a mysticism that certainly God understands.
But that mysticism historically has caused other religious leaders, most ironically the founder of fundamentalist Bob Jones University, to denounce Pentecostals. Gary Kellner is a pastor and former professor of Christian history at the Assemblies of God Seminary.
Bob Jones Sr. was as strident and bitter an enemy of the Pentecostal movement as it ever had. And he would typically refer to it as a doctrine of Satan, would question whether or not you could speak in tongues and be a Christian, or whether you were under demonic influence.
In the 1950s, the faith that originated with outsiders and the disenfranchised began to shift. The mostly white Assemblies of God became more educated, more middle class. John Ashcroft's father, J. Robert Ashcroft, himself a minister, was one of the first to get a higher education degree. He helped found what's now Evangel University in Springfield and ran the education division for the Assemblies of God. Over the years, the religious leaders who once scorned Pentecostal theology found political common ground with many members of the Assemblies of God. They agree with Attorney General nominee John Ashcroft in his statement to a Christian publication that it is the government's role to legislate morality. In the past, Ashcroft has pushed for banning abortion, eliminating the National Endowment of the Arts, and blocking efforts to end hiring discrimination against gays and lesbians. Julie Ingersoll teaches history of religion and politics at Southwest Missouri State University in Springfield and says it's a mistake to think every Pentecostal's political views match Ashcroft's.
You may well have a number of Pentecostals who would say that in spite of the fact that they believe that homosexuality is a sin, that it would also be a sin to practice hiring discrimination, and that we all struggle with sin in our lives. And so they would have a much more accepting attitude towards gays and lesbians than some others.
While his supporters insist he'll uphold the laws he has tried to change, Ingersoll says gray areas of the law give Ashcroft a lot of latitude. And she says Ashcroft's opponents simply object to his policies, not his Pentecostalism. But friends of the former senator use Democratic icons and civil rights rhetoric to describe what they say is religious discrimination. George Wood.
I hope that we never come to the place in this country where we tell people of faith, whether it be John Kennedy or John Ashcroft, if you're going to be on this bus of public government, then sit in the back of the bus, or don't even get on the bus. We want to throw you off the bus.
Whether John Ashcroft gets to ride into a new term as U.S. Attorney General will be determined by senators expected to vote on his confirmation next week. Shirley Jihad, NPR News, Springfield, Missouri.